Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Back in 2019, there was an organization that bills itself as promoting happiness that posed that question in a survey. I don't know how scientific or accurate it was, but it was pretty wide-ranging. They found that the happiest people in the United States are those over 60 years of age, that they see that there is a lack of joy in the nation, and so they consider it their job to increase that. They also ranked the states of which were the most joyful and which were the least. By the way, Alabama fell in the least category. We cannot catch a break in any survey that's given. What really interested me, though, was they gave kind of a sampling of the answers of what brings you joy. As you would imagine, near the top of the list, if not the top, was family. But you also had things like a sunrise, somebody put their dog, I imagine several put that down, that their pet or their dog brings happiness, brings joy. And as I was reading through that, I realized that that concept of joy is one that really fits with what we think about typically when we hear that word. In fact, you think about how we normally use the word joy, we'll say, did you enjoy that? And so we might be talking about a movie, we might be talking about a TV program, we might be talking about a ball game or a trip. So joy is kind of put in this category of what's kind of passing through at the moment. Are you finding pleasure in that? And I hope what we've seen over the past couple of weeks is that when we look to the Bible concept of joy, it's so much deeper. That what we're looking at in the Bible is the kind of attitude brought about by joy that finds that peace that joy brings no matter what's going on the surface. That it's a deep down joy that sustains us even when we're unhappy. Happy, unhappy, that joy is always there. And what we've done is to link that strongly with Jesus Christ. And I don't want to break that foundation at all today. However, what I'd like for us to think about this morning is the joy that we bring to one another. That there's a pretty good section of the Bible that talks about our joy that we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let's talk about that a few minutes this morning. One of the things that we see in the Bible in particular is watching another person's faith grow. I want to start out, though, with a passage that really does not discuss joy as far as using the term, but you'll see my point, I hope, here in a minute. As the Apostle Paul was talking about his salvation, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, "Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief." And then I want you to note this phrase, "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." I like that term overflow as it's used in the Bible. It's the idea that you are just so filled with something godly, something good, that you just can't really hold it in. And so the apostle, in talking about his salvation, he says, "The grace of the Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Now, here's our point. It's in that last statement that we see the foundation for an overflowing joy. That as we're dealing with one another, the joy that has been brought to us by the grace of the Lord overflows in this abundance to one another. So consider with me how we see that happening. How do we see that overflow of grace bringing joy to others who are saved? I like what we find in Acts chapter 15 along that line. Verse 2 says, after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and to the elders about this question. Of course, we're picking up somewhat in mid-thought here. But note the latter part of this. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles. And then look at what Luke tells us. And brought great joy to all of the brothers. When they were hearing about the salvation of Jesus Christ coming to the Gentile world, it filled them with joy. And that's one way that we need to think about it. When you consider news that comes to us about salvation, about someone being converted, it's exciting, isn't it? Whether it's someone who's maybe been with us in this congregation visiting, or maybe a child who's reached that point of maturity to becoming a Christian. Or maybe we hear about people who are being baptized in great numbers in South America or Africa or China or wherever. That's an exciting thing for people who are overflowing with grace. But I want us to take it one step further. It should not only bring excitement, it should fill us with joy. That as we think about being someone who is a part of the body of Christ, and we're hearing about the body of Christ growing by others being added to it, that should bring joy for us. Now let's turn that around a bit. What about the one who is converted? Should there also be that thought in the decision that's being made throughout the years that I have preached? I have always emphasized, especially when I had an audience of younger people, that the reason you become a Christian is because you want salvation through Jesus Christ. It's not to make your parents happy. It's not to get them off your back. It's not to make someone else leave you alone about it. But maybe we need to add to that. You should also, though, consider the joy that it brings. That when someone, especially who loves you, someone who is close to you, hears about your decision to become a Christian, that's going to bring joy to them. Isn't that somewhat of the idea of Paul? Where he says, this grace of God overflowed in me so that this faith and love was just spilling out. I think that's something for us to consider. That our salvation is, of course, primarily and fundamentally coming to God to become one with Him again. But yet it's also taking my place within that body of Jesus Christ, and it's spreading that joy to others. Let's think about also that this joy should motivate us in sharing the message of grace. That when I think about my need, my responsibility, to share the message of Jesus Christ, that joy should be a part of it. Listen to the words of the Apostle John. As he wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. Now, that's what we might expect Him to say. That after all these grand statements, He's going to say, so now your joy is complete. But that's not what He says. He says, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. That we can help someone who is outside of the body of Christ find that joy we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, but in turn, their finding joy is going to bring that joy to us. Now let me ask you this, isn't that a much better motivator than feeling the guilt of negligence in not proclaiming the gospel? Sometimes we'll have that little conversation with ourselves and we'll say, you're a terrible person. You never talk about the gospel with anybody. You got to do better. And maybe we'll do that for a while, but then we get back in our routine. Because that's usually what guilt does. Guilt will get us there for a little while, but it's not sustainable. And yet here we find this grand opportunity that is so filled with joy that it gives us the occasion to take that message to someone else. And so here is that joy that's coming because we're helping another to receive what we have received. See how all this fits together? By the fact that I now am joyful, that I have that foundation within me, what I want to do now is to allow others to have that same kind of joy. That's what the apostle is telling us here. One other thing we might note is that this joy is also brought about by seeing fellow Christians grow in the faith. So I can think about when someone becomes a Christian, when I become a Christian, I'm going to spread that joy to others. When I think about sharing the message of the gospel, I'm helping spread that joy to others, but I'm also finding the joy in myself in doing that. And yet, we also find that joy is going to come when we see someone with whom we're closely associated growing in their faith. The Apostle Paul shows us that. As he wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Complete my joy." Just like John, he's talking about this on a personal level. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. I think we get his point, don't we? That what he's saying is, joy is brought to me personally when I see you making the decision to live like Jesus Christ. That you're of the same mind, you got the same spirit, you've got the same love within you. In other words, you're pulling together to be what Jesus wants you to be. He says that completes joy in me. And he follows that by saying that joy is also going to come when you turn away from ungodly things. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. All of these things that would be the ways of the wicked, the ways of darkness, Paul says it brings joy to my heart when I see you putting that aside. And when I see you becoming a part of the body of Christ that he calls you to be. In the fact that you, in all humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Paul is saying to the Philippians, this is how you make me joyful. Because my salvation rests on that overflow of grace from Jesus Christ. And when I see you having that same kind of spirit, it just makes me joyful. We need to understand that in our relationship with one another. That Christ-like growth is going to actually help to bring joy by bringing peace to others. I know of four men in this assembly who could give me a good amen on this point. Because here's what the writer of Hebrews says. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know when a church is going to be doing its best? It's when everybody's behaving. It's when everybody's doing the right thing. Because the leadership of that church isn't going to have to be busy putting out fires and trying to pull people from the fire, so to speak. They're going to be able to focus on positive aspects of growth. And so the writer here is saying, do your part to help someone else be joyful. When you're behaving yourself like a member of the body of Christ, when you are living like Jesus Christ has commanded you to live, you're going to bring that peace to your leaders, but it goes far beyond that. One doesn't have to be an elder to experience that. I think this would apply to any mature Christian. That when you can see someone growing in the faith, when you can see someone dedicating themselves to the faith, that's going to make you joyful. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to do. And that's what we want to be in Jesus Christ. So let's find that joy in helping others to progress in their faith. Let's again think about this from the standpoint of the Apostle Paul. As he wrote to the Philippians, we oftentimes think about Philippians as being a book associated with joy. As we get near the end of it in chapter 4, he says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. You ever paid attention to those two descriptors there? My joy and my crown. That concept of crown is an accomplishment. It's like you've come to the final event and you've succeeded. Maybe you've been watching some of the Olympic Games and you've watched as they put those medals on. Well, that's the crown. They finished the race. They've seen this to fruition. And the apostle says to the Philippians, when you act like you need to act, that's going to bring this crown to my accomplishments. But now we ask, how is that going to be accomplished? Well, he answers that. Earlier in the book, he's kind of had this inward conversation. Would I rather live or would I rather just die and go be with Christ? And he says, that would really be the best thing. But here's what I need to do. Chapter 1, verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. He says, I'm tired, I'm ready to go, but I understand I've still got work to do here. And part of that work is helping you to progress. Another interesting word. It's kind of like what we would call a trailblazer. Someone who's going before the group that's trying to make its way through the wilderness, and they're cutting trees and bushes and clearing a path. That's what the apostle calls himself. He says, my responsibility is to help you clear that path to make it to where you need to be. That's going to bring joy to me. You feel that way? When you think about his joy was to help them realize their joy, is that how we as Christians feel toward one another? I want us to understand that a joyful Christian, just like the Apostle Paul, is going to find joy in helping others to find that joy. Let's think about this in a couple of different ways. One of the things we should consider in this is what I've just entitled spiritual mentoring. When you go into a job, oftentimes you're going to be assigned someone to kind of teach you the ropes. And if you get somebody really good, that's a blessing, because that person's going to show you how to do your job better. Why would we think any different about spiritual things? The Apostle Paul himself will say, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. And so we have these opportunities for those who are mature Christians to look at those who are on the path and to help them find it. And what I want us to see from the Apostle Paul is that you never take this lightly. Let's change groups for a minute. We've been talking about the Philippians. Think about what he says to the Thessalonians. In chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9, he says, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Kind of like with the Philippians, Paul says to the Thessalonians, what I want to do is to help you grow. What you're missing out on right now, I want to supply that to you so that you can be complete. So how does that take place? Well, it's a needed part of any church. If a church is going to thrive, you must have the mature working with the immature. And so this can take all manner of ways. You think about putting your good, solid, spiritually mature Christians teaching Bible classes, whether that be with kids one or adults on up through whatever age. You're helping to mentor those who need a better understanding of the Bible, but also any teacher knows that what you're saying is not the only thing being taught, it's what you're doing. Can someone look at the life of someone in this role of spiritual mentor and see that the words and the actions line up? That's what every church needs. But it goes beyond that. It's also taking an interest in other people. 2 Timothy, I guess, is the most personal book in the New Testament. Comes close anyway. And as Paul was writing to Timothy, he says, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Here it's not bringing joy to Timothy. He says, being with you is going to bring joy to me. Anyone who's taken an interest in someone who's immature spiritually and seen that person grow understands this fully. That you develop here not so much a mentorship, but a relationship that's based on being friends, but most of all being brethren in Christ. Is that needed? It absolutely is. Statistics show us that those under 30 are struggling. You look at our nation, you look at what's borne out by these surveys, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of grief. Well, we can't solve the nation's problem. But there may be someone in our midst that we can help. Simply by taking an interest in watching that person grow and helping that person to grow. And that's obviously going to be the case as well with those who are struggling in their faith. To take someone who is having very difficult times with their spirituality and helping them to grow in it. So with all this said, let's come to our conclusion now about the consideration of another's joy. Finding joy for myself and helping others find their joy, what does that mean for me? Well, a point like this, it's going to have to take a lot of self-reflection. It's going to have that hard conversation with yourself where you're asking, what am I doing? How am I doing it? Well, let's think about what we've looked at thus far. We said that true joy is when we're plugged into Jesus Christ and we're plugged into eternal life, that kind of completing the circuit. That I realize that when I become a part of the body of Jesus, it's both now and to come. And when I realize that Jesus Christ is the center of my existence, that it's because of Him that I live and will live, I'm going to know what true joy is. And as we noted last week, when we take that into consideration, that's going to impact the kind of person we are. We talked about that concept of radical generosity. Where I am not interested in building up my fortunes. That's not it. It's not some, I'm going to get rich and I'm just going to be set for life by the time I'm 40. That's not it. It's saying, with this blessing that I've been given, I want to provide joy to someone else. I want to help someone else experience the gospel. I want to help someone else have their next meal. And then that brings us to considering whether joy is being promoted in others by the things that I'm doing. So here with this question, we ask ourselves, am I that person who is promoting joy in others and consequently receiving joy from others? That's going to depend on very much how serious I am about joy in the Lord. I've got to take a good hard look at my relationship with God. Is it some kind of cold relationship where I feel like that I must go through the facts of what He said so that I don't end up in hell? There's not much joy in that kind of relationship. Oh, the Lord warns about hell. And He says, you be scared of that. But He says, that's not what I want our relationship to be based on. I want it to be based on the fact that I loved you so much I gave my Son so that you could be saved. We may find we have a ways to go in that relationship, but it's always wanting to progress forward in it. And it's my own seriousness about my outlook on life. We talked a couple of weeks ago. We have a lot we could be worried about right now. Just turn on any report about the 2024 election, and you'll find plenty there to be concerned about. The point that we made then, and I want to reiterate now, is if that's how people define me, I'm the guy who's always worried about who the next leader is going to be. I'm the guy who's always worried about the economy. I'm the guy who's worried that taxes are going to go up. I'm the guy who's worried about small businesses closing. I'm not a joyful Christian. I'm not someone who has let the peace that passes understanding guard my heart. And so when I think about another's joy, it's going to come to full self-examination to say, okay, what about my relationship with God? What about my outlook on life? And then it's my interaction with others, the point that we're making this morning. It's awfully easy to be cliquish, isn't it? It's awfully easy to surround ourselves with a small group of people. You know why we do that? It's safe. When I'm with people I know, I am pretty sure they're not going to hurt me. And the idea of extending myself beyond that is really going to have to take a lot of bravery. But I want to suggest to us this morning that if I'm unwilling to put myself out there for other people, I'm going to leave a whole lot of good being undone. And so what that means is that I must overcome that fear that I'm going to be hurt by someone so that I can then take my place as being a vessel of the Lord's joy for other people and in turn being filled with joy from those people. Sometimes we lose this because we get our feelings hurt. And so we mope around and we think, I can't believe someone who's a fellow Christian would treat me like that. I can't believe somebody would say that to me. I can't believe we come up with all these things. And what we've done is we have fixated on a small section, maybe one person, who maybe is not filling us with joy, and it's keeping us from filling others with joy and being filled with that joy. Is that what we need to do? Is that the kind of person that Jesus is wanting us to be? And so what we find then is that my interactions with others must be broad and complete. Our Lord visited who was considered to be the outcast, the trash of society. For the entire point of seeking to bring them into this joyful relationship with God, Jesus spent time mending broken reeds so that people would not lose their faith but come to a greater understanding. And if I am overflowing with the joy that comes from the grace that He did that for me, then what I need to do is allow that joy to flow to others and in turn be filled by them. So let me just conclude by saying this. Those who promote joy are not necessarily going to be the most biblically literate people. I have known some people who knew the Bible who were real rascals. Not necessarily going to be the most biblically literate, they're going to be the most Christ-like. Someone who can look at another and say, I want you to have what I have. And that joy that you receive, I want it to kind of flow into me also. And I hope that we can commit ourselves to that. That's the kind of person I want to be. Because that's the kind of person who's imitating Jesus Christ. So let's conclude with a passage that we looked at a little bit before. As Jude is writing, he says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of the glory, His glory, with great joy." And I'll remind you that Jesus is picturing Himself being the recipient of joy because of our decision to follow Him. Let's be a people who are not so caught up and worried about the here and now. Things are going to happen. Disasters are going to occur. Politicians are going to come and go. But what can remain steadfast is when my hope is built on Jesus Christ. Let's be the kind of people who can help others find that as well. Thank you so much for your good attention this morning. I hope that if there's someone here who has listened to these ideas of what God has done for you and you're saying, I want that. I want to have that joy that comes from that overflow of grace. I want to be someone who's bringing joy to Jesus Christ. That you will march down the aisle this morning and in front of all of these people, confess the name of Jesus Christ. put your sins away, renounce the life that you had, and be buried in the waters of baptism so those sins can be forgiven. If you're a little schemish about all these people here, don't let that stop you. Come to me. And we can make it happen that you will be added to the body of Christ by His grace. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe the cares and all this nonsense going on around us has got you down. And we need to pray together. We'll do that for your strength. Maybe it's a sin that's causing your joy to be so diminished that you've let your life get somewhere it doesn't need to be. God will welcome you back joyfully, like a father waiting on his prodigal son to return. Whatever it takes, let's know that joy that's found in Jesus Christ. If you need to respond, you can come now as we stand and sing together.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.